Chairs Now Waiting, episode number 667, Raising a Badge and Listener Feedback. Two Chairs Now Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick up some of their great new items. Well, not just new, they got the Loaded Goat items. That's right, the Loaded Goat from Mount Airy, North Carolina. You can pick up t-shirts and all kinds of stuff. Go and check out the Loaded Goat stuff. Lots of different kinds of t-shirts, colors, and everything. Check those out. And while you're over there, if you're hungry, get you a pack of Mayberry's Finest Country Bacon. That's right. We got some country bacon, and wow, it's good eating in the sun and here in the cold weather. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. And I want to thank our executive producer, Mike McGonigal, for being the producer of episode number 667. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting. Always great to be here in Mayberry with you guys. And we're going to be talking this week. We got a report. We had a report written about the raising of the badge. The badge in Mount Airy, North Carolina, they raise a badge up to the heavens for New Year's Eve. That's the New Year's Day celebration. So we have a report about that. And you're going to really enjoy that report, by the way. And then we've got several pieces of listener feedback as well. So I don't want to, we got to get right into this because this is, I don't know how long this is going to take. And we want to have time, hopefully, to be able to do a few other things here in the as well. So I'm going to get just a little bit of, I don't know what kind of background music I ought to do. How about this one? Just a little background music. Ah, isn't that nice? That's called Easy Day. Isn't that nice? All right, folks. Well, we have a report coming in from Barney Fife himself. Barney Fife from, he was coming in from Mount Airy, North Carolina, up in Mayberry, North Carolina, you could say. And he was at the, what was it called again? The New Year's Eve badge raising is what it's called. It's the badge raising. So, oops, here we go. Right pictures. I'm showing pictures to the folks that are watching the video, by the way, audio folks. So it was New Year's Eve, December 31st, of course, of 2021. They had the badge raising, which has been an annual event at the Museum Courtyard. It's the Museum of National Regional History there in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And we have a report coming in from Barney that he actually wrote to Virgil. So let me read you this report. Let me get going here. Dear Virgil, would have written sooner, but Andy and I have been on the go every minute since word leaked out about the badge raising on New Year's Eve here in Mayberry. They usually roll up the sidewalks every night, but this past Friday night, they did not. Ha ha. He said, ha ha. Yeah, that's good there. It was really wild. My head didn't hit the pillow until around 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Oh, my goodness. That's true. Yeah, let's see. We met down at the Museum of Regional History. Thank goodness we had run the moonshiners out of town. This fella, Calvin, gave a real good speech. I don't think he used the word humble even once, but other than that, it was beautiful. There was barely a dry eye in the crowd. Yeah, old Calv, he's one of us. He comes from a long line of good speakers. Natch, Andy, and I saw some llamas lined up around the streets. Yep, there they are. There's llamas in Mayberry. Llamas. Oh, wow. Yeah, he said, we saw llamas lined up while we waited. I don't even think they were loaded, but you can never be sure. How do you know if a llama is... You know, a goat can be loaded, but how do you know a llama can be loaded? Never sure there. I was ready for a rowdy crowd, but I guess the word leaked out that we would be there, so there were no rabble-rousers. You know Mayberry, we live in the past. The old clock, the old clock was about 7 minutes behind. I think the clock in my stomach, you know, the one that my mother had one too. It kept better time. Anyway, they worked really hard to get it caught up to the correct time. And old Calvin there, he led us to a countdown from 10. and they raise that badge up high so everybody could see it. And right on the stroke of midnight, yep, it hit the mark. And there it was, boom. So everybody was able to see the badge. So what they really do is they do really raise this badge up there. So I'm glad Barney wrote this in. This is good. I'll tell you, it was a sight to behold, all shiny, just like a bullet. Miss North Carolina sang Auld Lang Syne, and I noticed, due to extensive training with my voice teacher, Miss Poultice, a lot of off-key singers in the crowd. I tried to float around and see who it was, but there were just too many to pinpoint. Come to think of it, maybe they didn't speak a word of Scottish French like she had learned. You see, she was an educated girl, kind of like Melissa Stevens. I wrote you about her one time. She was asked to do another song, but it wasn't Dooley or Flo Sweetly Gent Afton, Sweet Afton. So I was mostly, it was just mostly over their heads. She did a really good job, though. People were using their electronic gadgets to make pictures, and I think old Calvin even put it on the interwebs. They probably need a fast lens to capture that shiny badge. I bet it was even in Mount Pilot, and hopefully they could probably even see it in Mount Pilot, and hopefully our friends over at the Hubraker Brothers, they got to see it over on the interwebs. The street was pretty clear afterwards, and there was no littering. There were a few jaywalkers, though. Definitely jaywalkers around. Let's see here. I was going to buy you an iron deer for your front yard. Oh, that'd be nice, an iron deer. But even that guy had gone. That guy left that sold the iron deers. Oh. The crowd dispersed pretty peacefully, too. But I had the tear gas ready in class in case it got out of hand. Gomer even told us we kept strange sleeping hours for fellas who had to get up early the next morning. All in all, it was pretty great swinging in 2022 in Mayberry. I got to be with my old friends and even made new ones. You see, Verge, that's the magic of Mayberry. Yep, no matter when you visit, you'll find folks who genuinely care for others and seek the greater good, no matter if it's morning, noon, or evening, or midnight. So here's to a great new year in Mayberry. Ha ha, Cousin Barney. So that was provided by Rebecca Lydia here in our chat room. She was actually in Mount Airy, and she got with Barney and got the letter from Virgil. I appreciate her. And she thinks she even got some help from Cooper Fife and Anthony Sizemore. So thanks, guys, for sending this to us. It was a great event in Mount Airy. They've been doing this for several years to have the, instead of the ball drop they have in New York, they have the badge raising there at the Museum of Regional History. And my friend Mark is one of them that has been really involved in doing that, so we appreciate him. He is we used to call him Radar when he worked for the Surrey Arts Council, and he used to run the sound for us for Colonel Timms. He said, and the way they actually raise it is they have a rope that runs from the bucket that they lift up high in the sky to be able to lift the badge. And the rope runs up to the bucket and then back down and across the road into the parking lot, and it's hooked to a fella's truck. And he drives forward, and that lifts the badge up. But it works, and it's awesome. So thank you guys for doing that. Thank you for your report. It's always fun. Lydia was able to go to Mount Airy during the holidays, and I think that was really cool. I've never been to Mayberry during the holiday season. So I bet that was kind of fun to be there. And I know it'd been fun to be there for New Year's Eve. That is really awesome. So, all right. So let me, we've got some voicemails to play for you folks. So let's go and hear from them. These are some feedback from folks just like you, that had some information. So let's hear from, Clayton first. So Clayton, take it away.
Hi, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm 12 years old. I'd like to say I like the podcast because it's very wholesome, and the Mayberry Show, also known as Andy Griffith, is very wholesome, and I like the old days.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Clayton. That is really great. And man, we are so glad to have you listen to the podcast. It's great to have younger folks like you, 12 years old. Man, you're going to grow up. You're going to know all kinds of Mayberry trivia by the time you're my age. So we appreciate the fact that you're here with us, and really appreciate the fact you took time to give us a call in. So we really appreciate it. Now, there's a few months, it's been a few weeks maybe ago, we did a trivia question. One of the trivia questions was, how many steps was it up to Andy's front porch? Okay. So we have a caller in that's going to give us some insight into this. And this is Daryl. So Daryl, take it away.
Hey, Alan, this is Darren Porter from Tampa, your fellow electrical engineer. And as far as I know, your only blind listener. I'm trying to catch up on some of the podcasts. I've been pretty busy lately and actually pretty unhealthy lately. So I was just calling to let you know that I had finished listening to the one about Johnny Paul, but I was interested in the trivia and the number of steps up to Andy's porch from the ground. And I think the misleading thing in that book would be that the word that they used was steps, because steps would be three, one on the first riser, one on the second riser, and one onto the porch. Whereas I think what they were asking for is stairs. And if there were only two risers between the porch deck and the ground, there would be two. I've done a lot of construction, and that's the way that we've always worked it when we had to design a stairway, and that's the way that is. So I just wanted to give you my 2 cents worth, and have a happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
So, Darren, thank you so much. I think I said Daryl's first, but thank you for calling us in on that. That's good information. Yeah, that's clarity. From somebody who actually knows something. So I really appreciate that. So thank you. So that, I hope that cleared up that trivia question we'd had earlier. I really do appreciate that. All right. So next we've got Rex West. He called in.
Hey, Alan, this is Rex West. I'm a first-time caller to the podcast. I did want to touch base with you. I met you back in 2010 at Mayberry Days, but I'm sure you've met hundreds of people since then, so you'd never remember. But I did have a good conversation with you, but I just want to call and tell you that we've ordered some things from Weaver's department store. We got some Miracle Salve, and I was surprised when it arrived in a box stamped with Miracle Salve on the side. That really made it more enjoyable. And I did send you, we did have to return one thing to get something else, but I did send you a ticket I give out. I own a Mayberry squad car replica, and I do a lot of parades and in West Tennessee, where I'm calling from, and I did send you a Mayberry ticket that I hand out to everybody. It's just more of a conversation piece than anything. Anybody that walks up to me wants to talk about Andy Griffith or the car, I always give them a little ticket with several violations on it. I thought you might enjoy that. But I do enjoy your podcast, and your trivia questions really cut me down to size. I don't know hardly any of them, but I do get 1 out of 10 usually. I'm one of those people that has normal questions. But I do want to wish you a Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thanks for all the hard work you do on the podcast. Bye.
Well, Rex, thank you so much for calling in and for sending this stuff. He sent a photo of his squad car with him riding in, and he did send me this nice, it's a list of tickets, items, and he's got a lot. I can't even read them all. Ignoring charts of citizen's arrest while committing a U-turn is a 211. He's got all kinds of lists of, things that he gives tickets for. 713 is entering Aunt B's Pickles in any contest. So these are fun. So he gives these out when he's with his squad car. So thank you, Rex. And it's always great to have Mayberry fans out there just making fun for people. This is fun. And it's a great time for people just to enjoy themselves. He's got it on here where you can, he can sign it and everything as officer on duty. It's $2 fine or 5 days in jail. Most likely in cell number 2. That's awesome. So thank you very much. We appreciate that. And thank you for noticing that we send things in a Miracle Salve box. If you order from Weaver's Department Store and you order some Miracle Salve and maybe some other different items as well, sometimes it comes in a box that's stamped Miracle Salve on it. So it depends what you order and how much will fit in the box and stuff like that, of what kind of box it goes in. And often it's in a Miracle Salve box, but not always, not always. So it's kind of a, you never know. You can request one possibly if you really want one, but it's, in general, it's got to be in the box that'll fit. So I'm glad you got one, and I'm glad you enjoy it. We have considered selling the box itself because there are a lot of people who want a box of Miracle Salve box. So we have had some of that as well. So anyway, it's a lot of fun. We have a good time with it. All right, so we have one more voicemail before a special voicemail that I want to hear. And this one is from Robert. Not that all your voicemails aren't special, but you'll see what I mean in a minute. Here's from Robert.
Hey, Ellen, my name is Robert Hale. I was born and raised in Portland, Oregon. I now live in Redding, California. And I've been a great fan of the Andy Griffith Show all my life. I'm 69 years old. And I always enjoyed watching Andy Griffith's show every Monday at 8 p.m. I mean, there's been never a show as equal and wonderful as Andy Griffith's show. Thanks to, of course, Andy Griffith, Don Knotts, and, oh, my God, Ambi, Ron Howard, all of them are great. So many wonderful things. Thank you for all you do. I enjoy listening to your podcast every week, and I thank you for doing such a great job. And thank God for the Andy Griffith Show, and it is a show that will never be forgotten. Thank you, sir. Bye.
Thank you, Robert, and amen. It'll never be forgotten. I hope so. I hope it's never forgotten. I hope the things that we're doing here with the podcast, the websites, just all these different things, the Mayberry Effect documentary, the Mayberry Man movie, those kind of things, we can help keep the spirit of Mayberry going. So I do have one other voicemail, but before we get to that, I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about Johnny Paul. Okay. So Johnny Paul Jason, we did an episode back in, it was episode number 658, and it was called, Who is Johnny Paul? Now, of course, we know who Johnny Paul is on the show. It's Keith Thibodeau. But in this particular episode, there was a different little boy that played Johnny Paul. And, you kind of have had to, I guess, been seeing the pictures. But he was called Johnny Paul. Opie was trying to, you know, he was pulling the horsehairs out of his jacket because Johnny Paul said, if you put it in water, stagnation water, it'll turn into a snake. Well, that particular little boy was not Keith Thibodeau, but he was called Johnny Paul. And that came from Spirit Walker, I think, is one who mentioned this to us, right? So we got this, this message, email from Lydia again. This is from Rebecca Spears, Lydia in our chat room. And she says, Chief, after your podcast on Who Was Johnny Paul in the Man in a Hurry episode, because that's the episode we're talking about, I've been doing some research with a bucket on my head. That's a good way to think, you know. And she said, I thought it was Joey Standard at first. Now, Joey, he played Joey in The Bookie Barber, okay, the episode of The Andy Griffith Show. He played Joey. And he was the one that was walking with Opie down the street when they saw Barney dressed in a dress. And they were just like, it is too Barney. You know, so he was with Opie as they were walking from over towards Foley's past the barbershop, walking toward the courthouse, and saw Barney in that dress, right? So that's who she was talking about. She said she thought at first it was him. And Joey was quoted as having said that he was a stand-in for Ron Howard for episodes directed by Bob Sweeney, who was also the director of the Man in the Hurry episode. But the body type and the eyes just weren't convincing enough. So she decided maybe that wasn't him. So then she says, tonight I was watching Opie and His Merry Men. And I noticed little boy playing one of the characters. His name is Joey Scott. Joey Scott. And Joey resembled the little blonde boy that was in the Man the Hurry episode. Okay. So she thought maybe it could be him. So, she said she noticed the boy playing the character named Whitey, which was him, could have been, and he's credited as being in Andy Discovers America. Let's see if I can find him real quick. I got pictures and stuff she sent me. He's credited as being in Andy Discovers America. And this is, if you're watching the video, he's standing just to the right of Opie, or to the left of Opie, on Opie's left, I should say. When they're in the courthouse arguing about history and learning history and stuff like that. So that's him. And he was also in Mary Men. He's in it as well. And he was also a child actor in several other shows. I really think the eyes are the same. So she thinks this could be who it was. Joey Scott is his real name. The eyes, you know, she really believes the eyes, it could really be him. And she enclosed some photos, which I'm showing on our video version. And I'll try to post these online too, on our Facebook page, that actually give you a chance to look at him and see that maybe this could be him. So what do you think? I want you guys to come and check him out. Try to figure out if you think he is the same boy as the kid in Man in a Hurry that was credited or talked to as Johnny Paul. I don't know. I just can't tell. I personally can't tell. So we're going to leave this up to you guys to go and look and see what else you can find. We're still trying to figure out who this young boy was. So we'll pass this along, I think, to Spirit Walker as well. Let him investigate, because he's a good investigative reporter, and he'll figure this out for us. So I really appreciate that. Let's see. What else do we have? We have, I think that's it. So let's do a little bit of trivia, and then we're going to go and hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History. How about that? Y'all going to like that? So let me get our trivia music going, because we always like to play some trivia music. There we go. All right, everybody ready for a question? Question number one. Robin Hood had a real stupid deputy. Robin Hood had a real stupid deputy. True or false? You can get in our chat room where I can see it. See what they're thinking. All right. Robin Hood had a real stupid deputy. True or false? The answer is true. You know, I don't remember that. So that must have been in that episode with Robin Hood and his Merry Men. Maybe that's what it was. All right, number two. Who said, this car's just been sitting on velvet pillows? Who said, this car's just been sitting on velvet pillows? Or on a velvet pillow? Who said, this car has just been sitting on a velvet pillow? Singular. All right. Who said that? The answer is Barney. That's right. Barney said that, folks. I saw Danny get it in the chat room. He got it right away. All right. Number three. Who was president of the Sheriff's Association? Who was the president of the Sheriff's Association? Who is the president of the Sheriff's Association? This is a little hard. The answer is the sheriff of the President's Association. The president of the Sheriff's Association was Sheriff Jackson. Sheriff Jackson. All right, number four. This is a multiple choice. Who was the Merry Madcap of Mayberry? Who was the Merry Madcap of Mayberry? Was it Barney, Howard, Goober, or Emmett? Who was the Merry Madcap of Mayberry? Barney, Howard, Goober, or Emmett? Okay. Who was the Merry Madcap of Mayberry? Barney, Howard, Goober, or Emmett? The answer is, it was Howard. Howard. Yeah, Danny jumped on that one too. All right, number five. True or false? Barney never read Robin Hood. True or false? Barney never read Robin Hood. True or false? Okay, this is easy, so here's the answer. Barney never read Robin Hood. The answer is false. He did. He had read Robin Hood. He read it. All right. Number six. Who said, "You're trying to rile me so you can see that vein in my neck stick out"? Who said, "You're trying to rile me so you can see that vein in my neck stick out"? So who said that? Who said, "You're trying to rile me so you can see that vein in my neck stick out"? So the answer is, who said, "You're trying to rile me so you can see that vein on my neck stick out"? It was Barney. Yeah, Barney's the one that said that. All right, number seven. What food item did Opie take to Weary Willie the hobo? What food item did Opie take to Weary Willie the hobo? I'm going to read it one more time because I'm a horrible reader. What food item did Opie take to Weary Willie the hobo? He took him an apple pie. That's what he took him. Yeah, he took him an apple pie. And number eight, our last question. Well, that's the same. That's the same. Let me get another one. All right. Number eight. It's a multiple choice. A sign on the outside of the left courthouse door reads, multiple choice, Justice of the Peace, Mayberry, Welcome, or Sheriff. All right, a sign on the outside of the left courthouse door read, Justice of the Peace, Mayberry, Welcome, or Sheriff. All right, so multiple choice, last chance. I'm going to read it and then give you the answer. A sign on the outside of the left door of the courthouse read, Justice of the Peace, Mayberry, Welcome, or Sheriff. And the answer is Sheriff. Sheriff is the answer. And anybody watching the video version of the podcast, shame, shame, shame if you didn't get it right. Because if you look over my head, we had this happen last week, or last chance. If you look over my head, you can see it right above me. Let's see here. Yeah, right there. So, and they're in the right order. All right. All right. So how'd you do? There were eight questions. Did you do okay? Hope you did all right. So now we're going to go and hear from the report from this week in Mayberry history.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Last week, we looked at the early career of Lorraine Tuttle and her beginnings in radio, decades before she would appear in Mayberry as Annabelle Silby and then the little old lady shoplifter. She was a character actress known to many TV viewers, but her greatest impact was as a versatile radio actress during what we now call the golden age of old-time radio. After making her national radio debut in 1936 as part of the cast of the nationally syndicated program Hollywood Hotel, Lorraine and actor Frank Nelson spearheaded the formation of the Guild, which first guaranteed radio actors to be paid for all their production time and not just their time on air. Lorraine was soon incredibly busy in the medium. Over the next few years, she appeared in anthology series, such as the Lux Radio Theater, the Columbia Workshop, and Texaco Star Theater. She also appeared for the first time in an anthology series called White Fires of Inspiration, a series which dramatized the lives of real people. In a 1938 episode about the life of Clara Barton, the founder of the Red Cross, critics applauded Lorraine's ability to voice a character who aged 40 years over the course of the story. In 1939, Lorraine added more comedic work to her resume. For example, she appeared in an episode of Jack Benny's program, which at that point was sponsored by Jell-O Pudding, a product that would also be advertised on the Andy Griffith Show regularly more than 20 years later. By the way, Frank Nelson, the man who Lorraine first hatched the idea for the Radio Actors Guild with, not only also appeared in that episode, his was a voice regularly heard on Benny's programs. Frank played various characters, but inevitably, he would respond to Benny with, "Well, hearing it for yourself would be better."
Let's see, I wonder where the jewelry department. Oh, mister.
Throughout that year and 1940, Lorraine appeared most frequently in the Lux Radio Theater, but continued to branch out, also appearing in variety show programs such as the Rudy Valley Seal Test Show. But the following year, she landed one of her best-known radio roles. Most Mayberry fans know that the Andy Griffith Show was a spinoff of the Danny Thomas Show. Spinoffs did not begin with television, of course, though the Andy Griffith Show was the first TV spinoff to come from a backdoor pilot, meaning the character of Andy Taylor was introduced on the Danny Thomas Show for the purpose of being spun off, having never appeared on the Thomas Show before. One of the earliest spinoffs, and definitely the first to be a success, was called The Great Gildersleeve. The radio series was centered around the sometimes pompous Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. Gildy started out as a neighbor of the title characters in the well-known comedy Fibber McGee and Molly, which was set in Wistful Vista. In the spinoff, Throckmorton moved to Summerfield to oversee the estate of his deceased sister and brother-in-law. Part of his responsibilities included assuming the raising of his niece and nephew, Marjorie and Leroy. The Great Gildersleeve was a great success and aired from 1941 through 1958. Like most shows of its type, it was recorded in front of a live audience. Gildy's teenage niece, Margie, was played by Lorraine, who turned 34 2 days before the first episode. This wasn't really unusual. With radio, it's all about the voice, and Lorraine was a master. Initially, Marjorie's age was not specifically stated. Lorraine played her with a dignity that made her seem to be an older teen near adulthood who was mature enough to stand up to her uncle when necessary. But radio did not necessarily follow real chronological time. We still see this in TV. For example, sometimes a new baby is introduced in a TV series, and the very next season he or she is a toddler. In The Great Gildersleeve, Leroy stayed around 10 or 11 years old all through the 1940s, then began to grow up in 1949 when he developed an interest in girls, drove cars, and the like. Lorraine played Marjorie for the first 3 years of the show, but left when the writers started making Marjorie into a younger character, eventually stating she was only 16. While radio actors often gave voice to characters different from themselves, Lorraine said at some point it started feeling difficult to go in front of an audience and play a 16-year-old. Not that Lorraine was hurting for work. Even while on The Great Gildersleeve, she continued to appear occasionally on various anthology series and guest starred in other shows such as The Adventures of Red Rider, Lights Out, Suspense, and others. She also began appearing regularly in the series Dr. Christian while playing Marjorie at the same time. This is something in-demand radio actors sometimes did if they had the vocal talent to play different character types, especially as no costume changes were required. It's a skill Lorraine possessed, so much so that she soon earned the title the First Lady of Radio, as we will explore further next week. So that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Wow. Thank you, Randy. As always, he comes up with great stuff. If you want to make sure you don't miss any of the Mayberry things that Randy has going on the internet, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun that he comes up with. So thank you guys for being here with me. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. It's great to be back here in Mayberry in 2022. We're going to have a fun year. We've got the Mayberry meetup coming up in July. That's going to be the third weekend in July. So go ahead and start looking at that. That's we haven't really published anything about that, but that's when it has been every year. So that's going to be, I guess, the 15th and 16th, perhaps. I guess that'll be that weekend. That's the third weekend. So that should work. There's actually, I think there's five, one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, there's five Sundays in July. So I think the 15th and 16th, third weekend of July, is when we'll be having the Mayberry meetup. And oh yeah, I have one more voicemail to play. Yeah, I forgot. I almost ran out of here without playing it. This is a special voicemail we've got that I want to play for you that came in for Christmas. If you've ever listened to our Christmas episode, it always ends with Miss Ellie singing Away in the Manger. And I got something kind of special for you. I missed this, and I'm sorry I missed this email during Christmas, and we'll definitely be using this in future Christmas episodes, but I wanted you to go ahead and hear it. Christmas is a long way from now. So here's an email from Peter Ackerman, who just happens to be Miss Ellie's son. So Peter, take it away.
Hello, Alan. Merry Christmas. It is Peter Ackerman, Miss Ellie's boy, Eleanor Donahue's son. And I thought I would call you before the Christmas episode this year instead of as I usually do after. And I always ask or desire to hear my mom sing. So I thought instead I'm going to be a giver and I'm going to sing a verse for you. Feel free to use it. Don't use it. It's for you and Jan. Away in a manger, no crib for the bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. There you go, friends. Miss Ellie's boy can sing it too. I think my mom does it better, but Merry Christmas, friends. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Peter, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you too. Thanks for doing that. That is awesome. So now we've got Miss Ellie and Miss Ellie's boy both having sang Away in the Manger with us. And man, that is so special. Thank you. I am so sorry I didn't hear that before Christmas, because I would have definitely had that in our Christmas episode, because that is very special. Friends, I am always glad to hear from you guys. And I want to just, I want to encourage you to give me a call and let me hear from you, just like all these folks did tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this on the podcast, because it is just special for me to get to hear from you guys and to hear what you're thinking. And wow, I got serenaded. So Peter, I really do appreciate it. Thank you to all of you who called in and left voicemails. I think I've got a couple of more voicemails still in the queue that are from a while back, but they require some work from my part to answer the questions. So I haven't gotten those done yet, but we will. So again, I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. And you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com or drop by over at twochairsnowaiting.com and, you know, leave a message over there too. However you would like to talk to me, I would love to hear from you. Thanks for everything, and I hope you have a great year. We're kicking it off last week and this week. We're getting a strong start to the Mayberry year, and 2022 is going to be a good one. Let's just positive thoughts, everybody. Until next time, y'all have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.